Thank you for tuning into the Christian Life Podcast. Today's episode, we are talking about racism in America. Please join our host, Carleton Holbrook, and our two guest speakers, Reverend Mark Thompson and Elder Michael Williams.
Today, we have with us Pastor Mark Thompson and Elder Michael Williams, and we want to talk today about what's going on in America and try to make sense of what's going on and why. Okay, Pastor Mark Thompson, what would you like to speak on?
Good seeing you, my brother. How you doing today?
Oh, fine.
Good. Well, what's going on? Making sense. You said something, making sense out of what's going on. It's really difficult to try to make sense out of this. My heart is saddened about the current events, to see the struggle that we continue to go through. And I really feel we keep missing the mark about what's truly happening. Yeah. The death of our brother over a few days ago, from that picture that we've seen, that violent picture of a police officer with his knee in his neck, not only triggered what's happening now, but then you go, I think it started people going back, thinking about the other young black man that was shot down while he was running. And then you have this COVID-19 disease, which has been, you can almost say, terrorizing the world by keeping people in their homes, not being able to socialize. So much has come together at one time, and it was just ready to explode. And to also add, this is the, I hate to add this, but it's part of the truth, it's the political season. And whenever the political season comes, when there's election of the highest office, I'm not here to talk about who's running, but whenever there's the election for the highest office, the president of the United States, there's always tension. So you add racial tension, political tension, and health tension all coming together. And this is the perfect storm from my point of view.
Eller, Mike, do you have something you want to say?
No, I was I couldn't agree with him anymore. I couldn't agree with him that he put it in good terms, because whenever there is a, how can I say it, a time for a, like a shift. If you think about earthquakes, when earthquakes is a slow process, but when the two plates reach that breaking point, that's when things start to shake. Because there is, and usually whatever is happening in the spiritual is pretty much manifesting in the natural. And you had a lot of like plates coming together. Mm-hmm. And there's about to be a shift. And the sad thing is that, or I wouldn't say the sad thing, but the thing that we should really be aware is, what's next? Mm. What's next when we, and the things that, and I was, while I was cutting the grass today, I was meditating, and the Lord dealt with me. And he put it in very simple terms in my spirit. He said, what we saw is only, matter of fact, they actually got caught. What we saw is only a manifestation of the millions of things that has happened that hasn't been revealed or exposed. Usually when things like that has happened, that means they just didn't get caught. They just got caught this time, and they wasn't aware of the camera. Usually when something like this, of this magnitude happened, if he was too comfortable on that man's neck. He was too comfortable. If you saw how he was sitting, resting, it's something, it's a part of their procedure. because he was too comfortable. This is something that has been done and practiced without cameras around. And that's all I have.
I agree.
You know, and he said something there, you know, when you talk about comfortable, you know, that it was tragic. But then you don't look at the outcome. You got to roll this thing back.
There you go. Okay,
where did it begin?
That's right.
And, you know, when you peel this onion back, we're in a culture now, we're in a culture now where, and I hope my brothers and sisters understand this, law enforcement, and we have to understand this, we give law enforcement is the only entity that has the power, legal power.
That's right.
To take a life. I mean, they could kill you, and they also have the legal power to take your freedom. And that's when you're arrested. Mm-hmm. They're the only entity that has that authority to take a life or take your freedom. We have to realize that. Now, that's what, when they take an oath as a plea to serve and protect, that's their oath, to serve and protect.
Yes.
We have to realize that not everyone that puts on that badge is going along with that motto, that pledge to serve and protect. But you have to ask yourself, what are they serving and protecting? So there's a lot of, you know, you can't blame every police officer.
That's right.
But what we're seeing now is more and more often, because that's what the cameras are catching.
That's right.
And it's also, we always look for the bad, just be serious. We only look for the bad when there's police officers that give books to kids, deliver babies. That's not make the news. Only thing that makes the news are these violent attacks that we see.
Yes.
But
that's right.
Back to that, we do have a problem, and now I'm going to really go back, roll this thing back, to how, and I got to talk, our young black brothers, we don't accept authority. And we're in this time now where we don't accept authority. And it's just as basic as I have my son. I still remember this time. We were driving back. He was in high school, and he's 26 now, so this was a few years ago. We're driving back from Accomack, Virginia, from a basketball game. So he was a senior in high school, and it was late. I was speeding. I was violating the speed limit. I was speeding. And I got to about Princess Anne. I was flying up 13, heading north back to Salisbury. And I looked over. And I saw the corner of my eyes, I saw a car sitting over in the grass.
Yeah.
I went, shoot. And he said, what? I said, man, I know I got caught. And just when I said that, I saw the lights come on. You know what my son said? He said, run. Run. I said, David, I can't run. He sees me. He goes, no, Dad, run. Go faster, then pull over and turn your lights off and hide. I'm like, David. So it worried me, because if he had that in his mind, what would he have done?
Yeah. Exactly. So
then I had to tell him, David, you watch exactly what I do, because I want you to remember this. And I tell all my young people, you pull over, mm-hmm. you turn your lights off, you turn your car off, you know, you put your hands on the steering wheel. I always keep my license and my registration above the visor, above my head. So I don't have to reach in the glove compartment.
That's right.
Should we have to do this? No.
No, we shouldn't.
But we're living in a time.
Yeah.
And I told him, when you get pulled over in a dark street and a police officer walks up to your car and you see how they walk up, hand on a gun, hand on a side, they touch your car to put their fingerprints on it so they can mark your car that they were there. And then they look at an angle because they're anticipating you doing something. So I always make sure I don't give them any doubt that I'm not going to obey them. And then my son wanted to argue. And I said, David, we're not in a position to argue.
That's right.
And that's why I say that young folks now, they do not want to accept responsibility. Go ahead, my brother. What do you say about that?
Bro, you're on the money. You're just on the money. And that's what I was talking to Carlton today earlier. I said, I think, and I know a lot of people would totally disagree with me on it, but I really don't care. I think the problem is stronger from within than from without.
Mm-hmm.
I think the problem is stronger than from within. If you go right all the way back to history, mm-hmm. and how Martin Luther King, they came together within the body of Christ,
mm-hmm.
and they met and they prayed before they responded.
Mm-hmm.
Now we are already naturally, as African Americans, emotional people.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is when we respond with all these threats of emotion, it raises the awareness. Not only white cops are nervous, black cops are nervous.
Mm-hmm.
So when they approach anybody of color, their awareness is high because they are also nervous. And when we go off running off at the mouth instead of doing what we, it could be a problem. It's not helping situations. And I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna let you go take it again, Pastor Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling my pastor this morning that the Lord was also dealing with me and said, this is not an emotional fight, but this is a mental fight.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot go into the courthouses. We cannot go into these rallies with emotion, but we have to go in with strategy and well thought out plans, because the system, whether we want to believe it or want to accept it or not, I love my white brothers. I love my Latino brothers. I love it. But the system was not originally designed for us anyway.
That's true.
So we have to be smarter. We have the one person told me, saying, when your head is in the mouth of the lion, you don't fight your way out. You paddle your way out. And I'm not saying for us to be like, I'm not saying for us to be passive.
Mm.
And, but I like the strategy. Harmless, wise as a serpent, and harmless as a dove.
Mm-hmm.
We have to use the strategies of Jesus, because for one, we are outnumbered. If you really mm-hmm. look at the statistics
mm-hmm.
of white Americans versus the Latinos versus Asians, and then African Americans, we are slowly diminishing. We are under, we're in the single digit percentage. So we have to be wise in how we, and think about it. I can't cut my arm off before I'm able even to fight. So why would I, like, I have a job where I have, where I'm working with the majority, I'm one of the only African Americans in the area where I work.
Hmm.
I'm a teacher at John M. Clayton Elementary School.
Oh,
yes, I'm in the Indian River School District. I'm one of the only mm-hmm. African Americans. It's not many of us.
Mm.
I can't offend, just like Jesus said, you can't offend anybody before you convert them.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be smart. We have to be wise.
Let me step,
and have the people that we are targeting the problem to, targeting the attitude and the fight at, are not even the ones who started the problem. You talking about that long, but you talking about, the Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places.
Yeah, yeah. And that's it there.
So why am I chopping at the limb when I need to be looking at where the root is?
Yeah, that's true. I like you said. So, now we realize this, that probably the majority of people probably don't know God or won't know God.
Yes.
So how do we still find to to be able to walk in peace together. Because the Bible tells us to follow peace with all men, you know, and with always
that's right
to see the Lord. So we still got to find a way, because save or not, because we're going to realize everybody going to try, everybody want Jesus, everybody believe in Jesus. So how do we still walk with the unsaved? You know, even though we are Christian, but we still are people of color. So we still deal with the same troubles.
Mm-hmm.
I know every time, like a lot of time you walk in a store, like the stereotype, they look at you or think you're going to steal something, or sometimes when you walk past white Caucasian women, they'll grab their pocketbooks and walk on the far side of you. And so we deal with it every day as black people, as black men and stuff. So my issue is, I mean, why is it that a lot of white Caucasians, why are they scared, or why are they intimidated by us? Why?
Well, you know, when you talk about race, well, now you talk about racism. Racism has been around forever.
Yeah.
Even the story of the Good Samaritan was about racism, when you had two different sides of people. But when you talk about why they're intimidated, you got to look at a couple things. Who named us our culture? The Negro, the Negro person.
Wow.
When you go back in history, which is pretty amazing, there were people of different descent that didn't have a name at the time, but the Europeans named us. So I was thinking about this Christopher Columbus when he came across.
Mm-hmm.
And when they came across and they saw, now think about the nationalities. When he saw people with slanted eyes and yellow skin, they were called, you know, Mongoloids.
Yeah.
From Mongolia. That was one of the cultures. When they went down in Australia and they saw those folks, and they were dark folks, they called them the Australoids. When they went up into the Russian mountains and they saw people of white skin in the Caucasus Mountains, they were called the Caucasian. So think about this. You had Caucasians were named for the Caucasus Mountains because of their white skin, and they were from like Russia, that area. Mm-hmm. The Asians, Mongoloids, Mongolia area, that's how they got Mongoloid. Caucasoid for the Caucasian, Australoid for the ones down there, down under.
But wow.
Only when they saw the dark skin pigment color of Africa, they didn't name us based on where we're from. They named us based on the color of our skin.
Wow.
What's the, in Spanish, I think the name for black is Negra.
Yeah.
So Negroid is not where we're from. It's what we are, the color. Wow. So we've never had a sense of belonging someplace.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Now think about that. When as a people, you don't have a sense of belonging someplace. So that's why we're all over the place.
Wow.
We don't relate to where we're from, our roots. Yeah. American, we say, yeah, we're from Africa, but how many of us, we're not from Africa. You go to Africa, they say, you're not from the motherland. We're from America. But we don't have that sense of belonging as a black culture. Then when you talk about slavery, mm-hmm. Slavery goes back and at where they sold us to the Europeans, the different tribes. So again, when we came to America, we came to America without a sense of belonging. We were brought here. We were sold by our own people. And then we were raised on different other cultures.
That's true.
But now you have all that tied in. Now you come to, when you look at, and I'm not even talking about the religious spirituality right now, but just our culture.
You're right.
We take bits and pieces of everything we see. And you remember even back in Kunta Kinte's day, you had the light skin were in the house.
That's right. That's right.
Dark skins were in the field.
That's right.
Yeah.
They separated us still. There was that sense of we didn't belong someplace. So again, when you go all these generations and generations of we talk about ourselves worse than other people do. We talk about that's the light skin.
You're right.
I agree. That's the dark skin. I want me a light skinned woman. So, you know, because we how we've been raised. So when you look at racial tensions, we're so easily used because we don't know who we are and stand for who we are.
That's right.
And then you start adding economic problems into this mix, meaning that the Brown brothers are Hispanic. They work hard.
Yes, they do.
They have a sense of family stronger.
Yes.
Asian folks have a sense of family.
Yes.
You see in their. Now they own the beauty supply store, mm-hmm. but they have their whole family working there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You see the our Muslims and the Arab people, that Pakistanians that own all these gas stations, they have their families working.
Yes,
they do.
Yes.
Well. They stay together. The Hispanic folks, when they have from landscaping to whatever they have, they stick together. They hire their own. It's only us Black folk. We don't do anything together.
Nothing.
And we're allowing the world to tear us apart. And then once something happens, we want to jump up and cry racism.
Yep.
But we haven't done anything to ferment our place in history.
True.
To say we're not going to be, but we have power, we have intelligence, we can do more than just what they say we can do. But it's just gone down another road that we can't even begin to relate to now. And then our young brothers and sisters, they're just out there. They're just out there. They don't know who they are, and they're letting, and we're prostituting our own people by how we, you know, from the music and the dance and the clothes and the song. Lord have mercy. But yes, when something happens, we want to jump up. We don't even work in school to try to get educated.
Come on, man.
So,
come on.
You know, but it goes way back. And if somebody mentions Martin Luther King one more time, are you telling me that Martin Luther King has been the only Black true leader we've had in all these years?
Wow.
Something wrong with that picture from ourselves. Looking inward.
So are you saying?
You know what?
Go ahead. Pastor Thompson.
Yeah. You know what? I'm listening to Pastor Thompson, and I am. How can I say it? I'm disturbed because I'm so enlightened. First of all, by everything that he's saying. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm disturbed because what he's saying is only, I wonder how many percent of Black pastors, bishops, preachers are actually teaching this about our identity. Uh-huh. See, it's what he is saying is actually I hear it every blue moon, different things. And you know how we learn a little bit instead of, but we need more. This is one reason why our young African-American men are acting out, is because they don't have a sense of belonging.
Oh, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's true.
And they're looking for a place. They're looking for a home. They don't. Daddy left, so they find it in gangs. They find it in whatever video game clubs or whatever you want. It's just so. And everything that you're saying, Pastor Thompson, mm-hmm. is so. How can I say it? Very true. And I like what you had said about Martin Luther King. Right, that past statement, but. If you really think about it, that's the only example that is really taught. We have others that I should be able to know, even me personally, I should be able to roll off my tongue all the inventors and the activists and the millionaires, watch this, generals that was in the Civil War. We have it. We are so ignorant of the rich history because we are trained to only look at the history books that has been given us.
Well, you know something, you said something. I bet you, and it was, I just saw this someplace, maybe Facebook. People can rattle off every black person has been killed. When you go Gardner and
who you talking? Wow. Yes.
What's my man Aubrey and the guy with the hoodie? Who's the hoodie?
Yeah.
Trayvon
Martin.
Yeah, but the kids, they can rattle off all this stuff. And I said, okay, I feel sorry for their lives that have been lost.
Me too.
And it upsets me. But why are you thinking, why do you know them? And you don't know your history.
Dropped a bomb.
You don't know that. And I haven't even begun to even talk about the Bible. When you said something about the men left the house. The problem is, spiritually, this is a spiritual battle, like you said.
Yeah.
And the spiritual battle is the man hasn't taken his appropriate role.
That's true.
In this kingdom.
Come on.
We're teaching that kingdom agenda, saying that it's God, man, you know, family, church. But the man, God created man. And Adam and Eve, God created Adam to tend to the fields, to name all the animals. And he gave authority to the man.
Yes.
Then he realized the man should not be alone. So he created a helpmeet. He took the rib out of the man's side and create woman, his helper. But the problem is the man has deserted his authority, responsibility. And that helper is taking over. But it screws up the whole principle of what God created.
That's right.
Man's supposed to be authority. And now we have women are taking over because God's never going to let his word not go forth. However, it's not going the way that God has intended to go. And once we fall out of that line of authority, that's why it's so messed up. But that's spiritual. And people don't even understand the spirituality. We're dealing with what I call the prodigal children.
Yeah.
The one who has taken the money from their daddy, and now they're out there living wildest life.
Yep.
And they're not thinking about where they were. Yep. They're out there. And now we're getting to that point where they're in the pigsty. But what's so problem? They're in the pigsty, but they don't even realize they're in it.
Yep.
I'm looking at, which it just drives me crazy to see on the news, our young black folks going in Targets and Nike and these stores, running up, looting, taking all that stuff.
That's right.
Come on now.
That's right.
I mean, come on. I don't. The protesters, when you see the ones who are actually protesting, they're not black. Most of them not even black.
That's right.
The ones doing all the damage, and you could say, well, we're doing it because we're mad. Well, there's a time who you channel your anger
the right into way.
Doing something positive. I always tell, I let you talk. I always tell our young folks. I said, why is it on a football team you have the offense and the defense? You're on the offensive. You're on the defensive line. Or you're on the offensive line. I mean, you cannot move until that ball is snapped. Until That's the quarterback right. says move. Now the defense can call you every name in the book. But if you move, you're off sides.
That's
and
right.
A penalty. You have to have some sense of discipline where you don't listen to what the defense is saying to you, but you listen to what your team is saying.
Wow.
And we're not listening to our team. We're not listening to our God. We're not listening to our preachers, the leaders. We're paying more attention to the enemy on the defensive side.
Oh,
telling us to jump. And we're jumping off sides every time.
My God. I'm gonna say this, and I'm pretty much, Lord have mercy, I don't know how long this podcast is supposed to be, but I'm done after that last statement. I am done. It's true. This is my thing. I think we really need to really back up as a people, educate ourselves, and not just educate ourselves, have a plan of action for our families first, how we're going to act first.
Mm-hmm.
I think we are more reactive than we are proactive. Mm-hmm. And that's like, for example, I'm more like, when you buy a car, before you purchase the car, you have to, before they let you drive off, they make sure that you have an insurance policy.
Uh-huh.
They go over with that insurance policy just in case things happen.
Uh-huh.
Our children, before they leave the house, are they insured with how they're supposed to be acting? Do they understand responsibility for their actions? Now, granted, like you said earlier, even the ones that do right may be caught in the crossfire and lose their life. But can we just diminish the problems a little with just doing the right thing first? Let's do what we can at this point. So we will give no, let's take away all the excuses so that it won't be no trial.
Take away the excuses. Uh-huh. That's it.
You see, let's take away the excuses and let's do, I'm training my daughter. I've already had a talk with her to make sure that she is operating with integrity so that if something do happen, the enemy will not have a leg to stand on.
That's when it.
You see what I'm saying? When you are breaking the law and the law breaks the law to break you. You see what I'm saying? When you are breaking the law and the law, who's going to win? The people who break the law.
You're right. That's the truth.
They're going to win. And we have to accept that. Why? I'm not gonna. I can't go into the Holbrook house with the Williams mentality. I'm sorry.
That's true.
I'm sorry. Even if I'm right, I gotta watch how I walk in his house.
It's his house.
That's right.
It's his house.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we want to say, yes, this is our land too, but it's proven that, just like you said, I'm stuck in that area. I'm stuck with this statement that I'm going to make, so I'm not even going to make it. But as being that it is what it is at this point, the most that we can do is to train our homes and our families to operate in integrity in everything that we do with our families, and if you ask the average household, what are you doing to get your son prepared for life? I bet you the census will be sad.
Mm-hmm. It goes back to, and that's why I'm never surprised by what's happening, because again, when we look at how we're so far out of order from what God has intended us,
you said it right.
We're out of order, so things aren't going to follow. So you said train our young people, our families have been torn apart, and they're not there anymore. Whoa. So who's training them?
That
even when they said this, it was so funny. The Didn't they say, do you remember they said in the beginning the COVID virus didn't even affect Black people? I remember when it first came out, they said, well, Black people are immune to it. And then all of a sudden it comes out and says we're the most it's affected area.
Yep.
And then they start talking about, because we have the highest rates of, you know, diabetes, heart disease, all the health problems. But I said, it's not even that. The issue is, and I like when they said, we have two different standards, but we don't look at it this way. We have that word called essential workers. Mm-hmm. Yep. Who have we been calling the essential workers? The doctors, the nurses, the people in high positions, the doctors and nurses in the hospitals, an essential worker. But what we find out, they're not dying at the rate. It's the essential workers who's running the grocery stores, the dollar stores.
That's right.
The gas stations, the essential things that we need. We talk about there's essential products that have to stay open. They even say the liquor store, but they, you know, the grocery stores and those are essential workers. The people working at the processing plant, the chicken and the meat processing.
Wow.
They're the essential workers keeping America running, but they're the ones who are the poorest. And now we find they're the sickest.
Wow.
And you ask yourself, why are they sick? Because they have to be out. The people who have good jobs, the essential people, we call them, we're working at home. We're doing what I was telling you, Carlton. Have you done Zoom? I've done so many of these meetings, Zoom meetings.
Oh, my goodness.
The people in authority are sitting at home. They're sitting at home protecting themselves from our so-called essential workers while they're out there on the battlefield.
Yep.
So that's a problem. And why are they out there working? Now, when I mentioned how the family has been torn apart, the man has left. We have shirked our duty as the head of the household. Mm-hmm. We've been the evil one, Satan, the devil, whatever you want to call him, has enticed us with so much stuff that we have either, again, you look at been incarcerated, where you ask, they always ask, where are all the Black men? They're in jail. But why are they in jail? They were enticed by whatever it was, fame, fortune, money, women, drugs, and now they're in jail, which has been another political ploy to get them arrested, get them in jail. Yep. But now the head of the household, realizing that the head is gone, it's easy to make the body lead now because there's no one there who's teaching, who's training, who's bringing up the child in the way they should go. So there's so many different aspects to this.
There we go.
But
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have a question. Right now, I feel like I have a bunch of pebbles in my hand that I can make effective if I throw them in the lake and do the little ripple effect, because they don't feel like I can really just blow the spot up and just make a change. I believe everybody's in the position right now saying, what can I do? And we said we all need to come together and things. But if you, I'm asking you too, Mr. Holbrook, what should we do as individuals to promote change at this point, if this podcast, if the nation could hear it, what could we say to actual spark a difference? What would you say the most essential thing that come in your mind?
Well, for me, honestly, I believe, truthfully, for change to take place, it's not only the Black, with us Blacks or minorities, it has to take place also with the white Caucasians. In the because we keep saying that one death, it's not just from that one death. Yeah. It's from all the frustration we all deal with daily. And
that's right.
Look at what that white lady did with the Black man in the park.
Mm-hmm.
And she was going to accuse him falsely, calling the cops, falsely accusing him. I mean, and he just asked her, just put the dog on leash. And she was going to try to say he was up there trying to attack her and the dog.
Wow.
And then look at the guy who was just jogging, and these white guys want to play cops and follow them in the neighborhood with guns. And it wasn't until 2 months later till they got arrested after a lot of noise was made.
Mm. Wow.
So it's more, I think more of the people in like the people in the judicial system, in the government, in the Senate, until laws are passed where the cops, it's not even just the cops, but it's a whole lot of other laws that need to change. Where people can just call in because of your race for something simple, just looking at a house. I saw where three brothers were just looking at what's called Airbnb, something like that. And the neighbor called him, said it looked suspicious. This black boy was driving his white grandmother in a car. And somebody just saw a white woman in there with a black young male and called the cops. That was it. Nothing, just riding. And the white lady even told the cop, this is my grandson. And he made the boy get out of the car so he could talk to him alone. And they kept on and on and on and on about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the mindset, not even, and like I said, it's the mindset of what other races or what the white people, what they think of us. So,
wow. So
there are laws protecting these people that the laws need to change. It can't be so easy where people are calling cops on us for no reason. What are you doing? Is there any? No, they ain't doing nothing. I just think why the cops go come up there and check that out if it was no violence, no anything. They're just standing there walking around. It could be a for sale sign, for rent sign on the house. Why would you think that was not normal? Because you think about it, in their mindset, they figure you can't afford it.
Yep.
I seen on television where cops pull over young black boys just driving Honda Accords, whatever. And he said, and the cop, this was on Cops and stuff. He said, fit the profile like a carjacker type of car stuff. And the black boy was crying. He couldn't believe that. I was hurt. What's the name? And he's on, and this is the cops with the television on camera, and like it was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, like from my own experience, and I'm sure y'all experienced it too, whatever. I remember me and my wife, we were walking, going to Food Line. There's an old white lady, hello, and she went, I mean, made a big behind, what's the name, just to avoid us to go into the store. I mean, she was right there in front, walked around, or what's the name, going there. I said, you see that? She said, yes. We was in Sam's Club one time. The old white lady, she was checking. She was, checking the receipts and stuff, make sure what's the name. She wasn't checking. When the white people came through, we had big, what's the name. She just told him, go ahead. We came. She looked through everything. I called the manager. My wife said, no, let go. I said, no, I ain't. I went and confronted that. I said something about that. And a few months later, someone said the same thing about Sam's Club with the same lady. And they said they had a lot of complaints about her, and finally they're going to do something about it.
Wow.
The same lady. And I was the assistant manager was a black guy. I was explaining to him. He was looking at me like I was crazy, like I didn't know what I was talking about at the time. And the problem is not even in just the white people, but the black people's mindset too, because even they are taught to look at us. They'll stare at us harder. Especially with these self-serve service now, they will look at you harder before they'll look at a white person.
Yeah.
Well, that goes back to that slave mentality that we we have inside ourselves. But you know, with the question you bring up so many good points, and there's so many different forms of how we've been how the world looks at us and does things differently, and you're right from that. Walking out of Walmart and they look at the receipt. But you ask the question, what do we do? It starts with us individually. We have to have a different talk, a different walk from everybody else. And when I say a different, first of all, if you're saved and you're a true believer of the Holy God and the Holy Spirit, We have to live by that.
That's true.
Sometimes we have that Peter mentality where we want to jump and cuss and fight and cut off the ear.
You said a lot right there.
But you got to realize, even when Peter cut off the ear of that I think his name was Malchus, of the servant of the guard, who covered him up? Jesus had to come and put the ear back on.
And told
Peter, just watch yourself. Yep. I'm glad I have Jesus who got our back.
That is true.
So we have to go. The kids used to say that slogan. True. I don't know what happened to it. What would Jesus do?
That's true.
Yeah.
We got to get back to that right now. It's hard to have to tell the whole world unless we do it first. So it's going to start with each of us.
So do you believe it starts with the church?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, but now you got in a whole nother realm. What's the church? Who's the church?
The king.
Who's the church? Today? Today's Pentecost Sunday.
Yeah, today's Pentecost Sunday.
What does that mean? When Jesus said to Peter and got bring Peter on this rock, I'm going to build my church. He didn't say that. The church was Peter.
I understand what you're saying.
We have too many churches who think we are the rock.
Talk, bro.
And we're saying that Jesus said, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So on this Pentecost Sunday, we got to realize that the church was formed when the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, gave us power to do things that we couldn't do. But now we've taken that and thinking, we've taken that Holy Ghost power and really, it's not about shouting, running around, speaking in tongue, talking about I'm driving a Hyundai or whatever that is. It's not about that. Mm-hmm. It's That's about right. the power of God working in each individual to give us the ability to do things that we can't do without God in our lives.
That's right.
And when God said on Pentecost Sunday, he said, I'm going to send the spirit of my spirit in you, each of you disciples. And we're a disciple. We're to go out and heal the sick. We always skip over and raise the dead. We should have that power if we believed it.
That's right.
But we don't have that power that he has given to us. When Jesus came down, or where was that? I still remember. When he came down off Mount Transfiguration.
Yeah.
When Peter, James, and John, the three amigos, were with him, and they said, "We need to build a sanctuary for."
Is it John 11?
Yeah, Elijah. Remember that story? Bring that up.
Yeah.
He said, "It's not about building something up in high places. It's about working for the people down in the valley."
Yeah.
And I said, "We got to come." And when they came down off that mountain, read that story, where there was a boy that had a devil. And the man said, I went to your disciples to try to cast out the demons, and they couldn't do it.
Nope, you're right.
And Jesus said, this thing only comes by fasting and praying. They didn't have the power within them. They had the look. They had the look of what the church should be. Ooh. They didn't have the power of what the church should be.
Brother, you're talking right.
That's why we're talking. When we talk about the church, there's so much about the church, and I'm not criticizing nobody's church, but until we get, and this COVID virus has put us on check. I can't wait when it's over to hear, we used to say, you got to come to the sanctuary. And now we're saying, it's not about the sanctuary.
Yeah. But I told you.
When the COVID virus is over, what we've seen, it was about the money. How do we raise the money when people don't come?
Come on, bro.
So there's a whole bunch with the church. We talk about the church. And I'm not bashing not the church of God. We have to take a look at what is our role as a church.
That's right.
And on this Pentecost Sunday, do we have the power to go out and talk, even when we see on the news all this craziness happening? As we see the death from this virus, we still have the power to stand up and say, I still think God is good in spite of this. And here's how I'm living my life.
I'm glad
that's where we need to be.
I'm glad you said, you know what? That's my answer, and I'm gonna take that, Carlton, because lately it seems like my church, particularly, I go to Rehoboth Temple of Praise, and Bishop Leon J. Wilson is my pastor, and I'm the minister of music there, and I'm also an associate elder.
Mm-hmm.
It was 2 weeks ago where we combined with the ministerial staff of all the ministers of and pastors of Laurel, we came together and delivered over 2,500 boxes of food, and they came, and we was a part of the prayer band, and
that's
they came,
the
and as they, hallelujah, as they got the boxes, we was praying for Hispanic, white, and Black, I forgot the Haitian, Jamaican, African. We were praying for everybody. We had church out there, and it was the most rich experience that I had in the Lord at the long time. And I'm coming to realize that all through the Bible, God was at his best when there was a crisis.
Mm.
And I'm believing that this COVID virus and all the things that's happened is going to bring out the best in the church and all the best in the true body of Christ. We realize that according to the scriptures, that this is a spiritual house. This building is not made with man's hands, but this is a spiritual house, and we are brought together by, like in Ephesians, what it talks about in Ephesians, the fourth chapter.
Mm-hmm.
We are a body, a spiritual body, and we make each other better when we come together in one faith, one spirit, and one baptism.
That's it.
I am excited about this conversation, because if two or three people get something from this podcast, I'm gonna tell you something, Carlton. I thank you for your time, and Pastor Thompson, I thank you for your rich input of wisdom, because it helped me get a better grasp of my plan of action from this point on. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be done, Carlton, but next week, we're having Men's Month, and we as men decided it's not going to be about the men of our church. It's going to be about the community, and because as us taking the lead and taking our rightful place. So we are doing another giveaway of food and ministry to the community. As they drive through the parking lot, we're going to be giving away boxes, chicken, and food, and praying for people as they come through again, doing outreach. So
I think
this is awakening the church to say, this is the final thrust. These are the last days. And I think that the church, if you look at the fivefold ministry, you have the thumb, the pointer finger, the thumb, which is the apostle, the pointer, which is the prophet. Then you have the evangelist, which is the middle finger. Then you have the pastor, which is the marriage finger. Then you have the pinky, which is the teacher, which is that handles all the finite little things, that the teaching part. But that middle finger, if you think about it, it's the longest finger of the hand. It's the outreach, and before this COVID, that was the shortest in most ministries. The evangelism, the outreach is the weakest part of the ministry, as well as the youth ministry, which should be a part of outreach. And I believe that middle finger is growing back because of this crisis. And I think God is just going to get the best out of his church because of this situation. God bless y'all, guys.
And it's going to take praying, brothers. I'm just going to close with the scripture that all of our hearts, 2 Chronicles 7:14.
Yes, sir.
Where it says, if my people,
yes,
and if not, it's going to take the Christian folk.
Yes,
if my people, which are called by his name,
yes,
first of all, humble themselves. It's not about our denomination, but let us realize humble that God is still in control.
Yes.
And if we humble ourselves and pray and then seek This is the time God has stopped the world to give us time now to seek his face.
Yes.
And then when he says, turn from the wicked ways, oh my, we can just go on for that one. But if we could do that, and the words, and the Bible says, if,
wow,
not when, but if.
It's a decision.
Yeah, it is a decision. Then he will hear from heaven. And thank then you. He'll forgive her. Then he will heal our land.
Yes. So
it's not going to happen until the people of God,
yes,
turn back to God.
Hallelujah.
And realize that he's still God. Thank you. When, yes, the, when we said, we have to realize and meet God in trembling and fear.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That he isn't, we can't play with this God.
That's
we
right.
can't come on this right. God and use him like some right. Amusement ride or some vending machine.
Santa when
we
Claus.
Put some money in there.
Yeah.
But now is the time when we need to realize who he is and that he is God.
Yes.
In spite of everything, what we yes. see. And then as men of God, we need to start continue to lead. Carl can continue to put stuff on your radio, on
yes.
your podcast.
It's beautiful.
Somebody's going to hear it.
That's yes, right. somebody.
That's how it's going to start. One person at a time. We can't go to Atlanta and Chicago and Minneapolis to stand there and say, stop. But it's going to take us, how people are going to hear us and see us, how our light, let your light show shine. To show people. So we'll just gonna keep doing this, be encouraged, don't get discouraged, but keep stretching, keep pushing toward the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. And if we keep doing that in God's time, he'll change everything.
That's right.
And he'll yeah. change everything for the better.
That's right.
And that's what I gotta say about it. Amen.
It's beautiful.
Amen. Okay. All right. That's our is everyone finished?
I know I am. I am blessed. I am blessed. I'm gonna just take what I've learned today and just apply it. Amen. I appreciate Pastor Thompson and I appreciate you, Carlton, for this opportunity.
All right. Thank you yes. both for coming on. Pastor Mark Thompson, can you stay on for a moment? I want to speak with you.
I sure can. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Elder.
All right, man. God bless you, my man. I enjoyed it.
Right,
be safe.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you liked our podcast, then you will love our radio station. Please continue to tune in for more episodes and a variety of Christian and worship music at www.megaworshipradio.com. And don't forget to download our app. Please feel free to contact us if you have any requests.